Turn your Bibles over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Solomon is continuing on with this theme of the sovereignty of God, that God is in control, and how we as individuals often lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that God is in control of all events, that nothing captures him by surprise. That when difficult times come into our life that have no real direct connection to our choices or our actions, God knew that would happen. God knew that would take place. When we do make choices and we, by those choices, we plan a certain outcome, it is God who determines whether we can have that outcome or not. As we talked with the farmer, that's not too hard to figure out. He works hard, tills the ground. He works hard at preparing the soil. Then he plants the seed. He works hard at keeping the weeds out. And he may even work hard at being able to artificially make sure that the crops are watered. He may even have control over how much moisture. Who has control over whether you get a crop that year or not? God does. So God, and the sovereignty of God, with those who are dependent upon their livelihood on the basis, may have a better understanding of the sovereignty of God, but we who go to the grocery store to get what we need, we want some food, we go there. We want whatever. We want some money, we go to the bank. We want to spend something, we might even put it on a credit card. We don't wait on God. We feel we actually have a larger control than really we do. And we think that we can determine the outcome of our life simply by a series of our personal choices. So when we convince ourselves of that, one thing that is evident in our life is we don't pray. Not a lot of prayer going on. We don't ask God for wisdom. We don't pray for God for protection. We don't pray for God for wisdom to make right decisions. I'm just going down to do whatever. Why would I need to ask God involved? A person does not have the sovereignty of God understood and down to a point that they realize they have to interact with that on every minutia of their life. That person sets themselves up, actually, for disappointment, for bewilderment, for disillusion. So Solomon continues on this theme of the sovereignty of God, which means, again, God has complete control. He can determine the outcome of your choices. He can interfere with them at any time. He can bless your choices, or he can hinder your choices from producing that which you hope. And all of that is to get our attention so that we might depend on him. Because without depending on the Lord, we really do not have a relationship with him. We may be born-again Christians, but we need to understand how dependent we are upon the Lord. So Solomon actually begins on with this. We're going to look here at chapter 9, verses 1 and following. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. There's the sovereign. These are all in the hands of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. As it is good, so is the sinner, that he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there are one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and the madness is in their heart while they live. And after that they go to the dead, for to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing at all, neither have they any more a reward. The memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let the head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whosoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I returned, and I saw under the sun, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance have happened to them all, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in the evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Wow. There's a lot of stuff there. I'm going to try to make some sense of it for you. What's going on? Well, the sovereignty of God is established here. For I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. So that's what he established. You know what? You need to be wise and you need to be righteous. But I want you to understand something. Your life is in the hand of God. And as I identify that your life is in the hand of God, you have no control over whether you're going to, by living righteous or by living obedient to God, that you're going to get blessing or curse from that on this earth. You have no control over that. Now, it's like, I thought this was supposed to encourage me to live wisely and live righteously. Well, that's not a whole lot of encouragement, is it? Well, what do you mean? Well, what he's saying here is, just because you live righteously, you are not able to guarantee that you're going to have a good life. So your motivation for living righteously better be a whole lot deeper than manipulating a sovereign God so that he'll give you a good life. See, when you do what you do, you got to look at your motivation, because just because you're living righteously doesn't mean all good things are going to come to you. In fact, it might be just the opposite. It's all the same. In fact, he goes to explain that all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean. To the clean and to the unclean. Well, let's explain this. I just found out there was an earthquake down in California. My daughter experienced her first California earthquake. So, Mom, by all your righteous living, Mom, you can keep your kids safe because God's obligated to bless you and protect your kid from dying in an earthquake. Nope. Not gonna happen. So, did people die in the earthquake? I don't know if there's any deaths yet. Injuries, I'm sure. So God went through and this earthquake took place and there were 80 some injuries. Only the unsaved people, they're the only ones that had concrete fall on them. They're the only ones that got injured. No, the earthquake impacted who? The righteous and the unrighteous. You see, because the sovereign God, who knows better than you or I, says, guess what? Earthquake's going to take off at 3 o'clock in, and it did. And of that, 85 people are going to get injured. And of that, there's going to be righteous and unrighteous. How many times do we go to the scriptures because we want God's favor? We want God to make our life a little easier. We want God to just make our country better. We want God to fix our problem. We just live righteously, then we get this justifiably from Scripture. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But it has to be balanced with the sovereignty of God. It has to be surrendered to the sovereignty of God. So when is God going to reap that which you sow? So if you do right, will God bless you doing right? That's a promise from God. He will. But when do we expect right to be blessed? On this earth. What if he says, I'm going to bless you, but it's not going to be on this earth? When I take you home, that's where you're going to get your blessing. How many of you would sign up for the do right class? It's like, maybe I'm not going to do right anymore, because I kind of want to cash in now. And so Solomon's saying, look, you must understand the sovereignty of God, that in the sovereignty of God, there's no guarantee that just because you do right, you're going to get right on this earth. You've got to do right because it's right. You've got to do right because you're desiring to please your Heavenly Father, whether you get anything out of it or not. I don't know. This is so important. If you're going to grow spiritually, if you're going to be stable in an unstable world, if you're going to have healthy relationships, if you're going to have a healthy church, if you're going to have anything healthy in this world, you have to surrender to the sovereignty of God rather than trying to manipulate the sovereignty. You have to do right for right's sake and do right because it's pleasing to God. And if He decides to bless you because of that, immediately, amen. But if He doesn't, are you going to grow bitter? See a lot of bitter Christians, angry because God didn't work out life and they tried to live right. And life didn't work out right for them. So I get on the airplane and I'm the Christian on the airplane. Yay! Yay, Jesus! I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm witnessing to my fellow neighbor on the plane. And the jihadist gets on the same plane and he takes the plane down. God doesn't love me. There should have only been unsaved on that. Then the jihadist could take out all his own devil worshippers. No, it doesn't work that way. God sends the rain to the just and the unjust. We have to trust His sovereign mind. We can't figure it out. And it's good thing we can't. If I could figure it out and I got to push the button, I got to distribute the rain where I think it should go, I got to distribute divine punishment and retribution where I thought it should go, I mean, there'd be explosions all over the landscape. The point is this. You and I as believers have to balance God's promised principles of blessing and reward to His sovereign control and wisdom. That it doesn't necessarily have to be here on this earth. That the wisdom of God is smarter than you. And if it ain't working out now, it's because God knows better. Will you still do right? Will you still do right? We used to sing a song out of Pillsbury. Do right till the stars fall. Do right till there's no one else to stand by you. Something like that. Alright? So do right till the stars fall. Do right even though there's nobody else standing with you. Do right, do right, do right. But that is the idea. What's the condition of your righteousness? What's the condition? He says, you know, there's a great evil on the earth. All the things done under the sun, that there is one event that happens to them all. Everyone dies. I like how he writes. It's almost sarcastic. It's like, here we are. You know, you got the good living guy. And you got the bump. And they're both living. And they're both living the way they think they should live. And in the end, what happens? They're dead. Very, very, very dead. They die. So, whoop-de-doo. Who cares how I live my life then? Because the guy's living an evil life. He gets a good life. The guy is living a good life. He gets maybe a terrible life. But they all die. And as he is communicating here, he's communicating to bring us to this revelation. Is it okay with you? Is that okay? Is it okay that life's not fair? Is it okay that life doesn't work out the way you want it to work out? Can you trust God to control those things which you have no control over? Can you do that? Because that's what we're called to do. As believers, we are to trust God's wisdom in those things which we have no control over. He gives us instruction, and He says, go and do it. And He says, you know what? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I didn't tell you when you're going to reap. But I want it now! But I want the pain to stop. I want to get a little bit of reward in life. I don't want to minimize your pain, but stop crying in your soup. Pain's not going to go away until when? Until God takes us home. Now, I hope I got you to the point of despair. Because that's where he was taken. So I was like, I want you to get here. I want you to get to where you're really ticked off because life's not fair. And it's really easy to get there, isn't it? Like, you're right. Yeah. What about this? Yeah. What about this, God? Like, you live like a dog, you die like a dog. You live like a righteous man, you die like a dog. So what's up? And then he goes on with this one. He says, oh, by the way, but it's better to live being a dog than being a dead lion. How many of you got that one? You know what that one means?
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I guess it's good to live like a dog than be a dead lion. Yeah, thanks for that one.
Right? You're kind of like, well, that's just a zinger. Where's that coming from? What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. He goes on to explain it. He says, at least in living, you have hope. At least in living, you have choice. At least in living, you know your end. You know you can number your days. So if you're really blowing it here, you can kind of change. You can make alterations. You can fix the broken. But when you're dead, what can you fix? It's done. It's sealed. There is no fixing it. So those who believe in purgatory, those who believe that you get the second chance after you die, Solomon kind of throws this out there and says, hey, guess what? Ain't nothing happening after you're dead. It's sealed, signed, sealed, delivered. If you're bad and you die bad, you're stuck. You're eternally bad and condemned by God. But if you die righteous, then you will be eternally established in glory. But the point being is, in where does God give us some exercise of free will and the ability to alter our course in life? So he's saying, even though life isn't fair, even though that sovereignly I get to choose when I'm going to bless you, you need to understand, life is better than death. At least you still get some choices. You get to make some choices. And in making those choices, keep my sovereignty in mind. That just because you're making the choices does not mean you can determine the outcome. I may bless the outcome, or I may withhold the outcome. Need still make what choices? Right. Because I've instructed you to do so. He goes on in verse 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. This is interesting. He said, here's what I want you to think about your life. You eat that bread that you worked hard for and enjoy it. Drink that wine with merry heart. And the idea of drinking wine is not getting drunk, for all those who think wine always means alcohol. It's not. It's usually what it was is when they had the harvest, they brought in the wine harvest and they pressed out the fresh grape juice. Wine, grape juice can be the same thing. And they pressed it out. There was a celebration to taste the first fruits, and they would celebrate the drinking. He's saying, with a merry heart, celebrate the harvest. Celebrate what I've given you. Understand, there are a lot of things you could waste your life wanting. You got to learn to appreciate what you got rather than wanting what you don't have. That's a hard one, isn't it? Isn't that a hard one? Well, I just wish I had a nicer house. Well, I just wish I had this. Well, I wish I had this back. I don't have this, but I want it. I used to have this. I want this. And we could spend our life in absolute disappointment and depression rather than appreciating and enjoying what you do have. And what he says is, what you have, here's what you have. Guess what? Here's what you have. Right now. That's what you have. Enjoy it. Yeah, but what if, not tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to be correct tomorrow. You may be dead. Very good, very dead. Remember dead? Better be alive and dog than a dead lion. You see how it all connects? So now you got to process this way. You got to, okay, I got today. But what are you going to do about today? Well, you're going to enjoy it. Well, how do you enjoy it? By appreciating that you have it. By recognizing what you have, rather than longing for what you don't have. So, this is an opportunity for you to participate. Okay, how are we going to obey this? Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy work. He's saying, if you have this in your hand, if you have food and drink in your hand, sustenance of living, if you have that, it's because God has already done it. God has already accepted. God has already given you a blessing for your labor. What are you doing with it?
You know, a couple things went through my mind the other day. One is, I filled cars.
Well, I can remember in seminary, college, where I couldn't do that.
I remember the 4 days, and I'm like, wow, I can fill tanks. I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's cool that I could do that. The other day, I went and I thought, you know what? I finished a doctorate
of ministry.
And I was like, you know, it's kind of neat. That's finished. It's finished. Nobody can ever take that away. It's done. I've accomplished the goal. It's done. I've got to enjoy that. It's done. Cool. That's exactly what this is saying. You take joy in what God has already blessed you with. Because that's the only thing you really have. Because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Shania, you better celebrate the times when things in our life go by without us saying, wow, I'm thankful for this. Today. This is what I have today. And I'm gonna take joy and merriment in it. You know where people lose their joy? They can't even appreciate what they have. And wanting more. Always wanting more. You know what? I got up the other day and did some workout as I was doing my stretching and kicking, you know, my up above my head at 49. And when I was doing this, you know, as I'm doing the kicks and I'm going way up there, I was having a great time. Just being God. You know what? Wow, God, you are allowing my body to stay together at 49 so that I can still do this. And I haven't done those stretches, well, since camp, we did one. But I haven't done those stretches in a regular time for a long time. And I actually got, like, pumped about it. This is so cool. God, thank you so much. Well, that's kind of stupid, isn't it? I mean, honestly, you ever just kind of walk in a room and see a guy giddy over the fact that he can still bend over and put his ties and shoes? I can buy my shoes! Thank you, God! Yeah, most people say that guy's on drugs. Right? That's the instruction here. The simple mundane of life that you get, you take joy in it. Let the garments be always white, which is the idea of celebration, the idea of worship. You know, sackcloth and ashes was the idea of when you're mourning. He says, well, let your garments be always white and let the head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife of whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. This is what you get. If you're married, enjoy each other every day of your life. Why? Because that's what you get. Yeah, but I want something different. No, you don't. You can't enjoy what you got. You're not going to enjoy what you get. Isn't that a simple but profound truth? You can't enjoy what you got. You're never going to appreciate and enjoy what you get. Because who gave this to you? Who gave you the life and the breath you're breathing today? If you can't enjoy and thank God for this day, you're not going to enjoy and thank God for the next day or the next day. And if you do, it's going to be very short-lived. You're back into the downward depression spiral. So, enjoy the wife of thy youth. Some sarcastic man's going to say, well, I did when she was young. What? You enjoy the one God gave you because this is your portion in life. You enjoy the labor of your hands because that's your portion in life. And with that, if that alone, if that's all you ever got, that's okay. Enjoy what God has given you today. Then he goes on. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Wow. Now, on average, does the race usually go to the swift? Does the race usually go to the fastest runner? Or they're running last, and they're coming around the corner, and bam, fastest guy's up. It's like, yeah, there are things we get and grow to expect, and we think, hey, this is the way it's going to happen. In fact, there's so much of that goes on, that's why you have betting on horses. Because it's a measurable risk. Well, this is predictable. This is what's going to happen. We can we'll play the risk, we'll play the odds, but this is kind of within a mathematical precision here. It's predictable. And what Solomon is saying is the wise man understands there is nothing that is guaranteed through the actions. And he uses chance here to say God is sovereign and he can alter the outcome like that. So who should we fear? God. Who should we trust? God. So don't start trusting your own abilities. Don't trust your planning. Don't trust your investment of energy. You must always come up with this. If the Lord will, I will do this. And I will do that. That we must always surrender to that sovereign input of our Lord and Savior. Take each day, give it your all, because it is all you have. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do with all thy might. What do you got today? So live this day with all
your might.
Live this day with a full purpose. Don't waste it. Don't let it fly past you. Rejoice in it. Be thankful for it. Enjoy the food and sustenance, the food and water. Enjoy the relationship. And again, the wife of the youth is the relationships God gives all mankind. Enjoy those relationships. Why? Because that's all you have. And all you have is what you have today. And there's no guarantee you'll have it tomorrow. So rejoice in it. Leave that thing that's out of your power. Leave it in God's hand. And trust His sovereignty. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We ask God that you would help us to learn the wisdom that is being communicated here through Solomon. We ask God that you would help us to, in a biblical sense, carpe diem, seize the day, surrender to your sovereign control, rejoice in what we have, and not pine away in regret, pine away in desire of jealousy and covetousness, but to rejoice and celebrate what you have given us today. In Christ's name we pray.